Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T, here with my beautiful wife, Reverend A. And we're going to be discussing Lesson 308 and A Course in Miracles workbook lessons today. And we appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much for joining us here. Let's take a brief moment of silence together and let's take a good deep breath.
This instant is the only time there is. I have conceived of time in such a way that I defeat my aim. If I elect to reach past time to timelessness, I must change my perception of what time is for. Time's purpose cannot be to keep the past and future one. The only interval in which I can be saved from time is now. For in this instant has forgiveness come to set me free. The birth of Christ is now, without a past or future. He has come to give his present blessing to the world, restoring it to timelessness and love. And love is ever present here and now.
Thanks for this instant, Father. It is now I am redeemed. This instant is the time you have appointed for your son's release and for salvation of the world in him. This instant is the only time there is, and so it is. Let's join together for another brief moment of silence. So this lesson is a companion lesson to me, you know, to yesterday's lesson, because we were looking at conflicting wishes cannot be my will. And the admonition there was, with this prayer, we enter silently into a state where conflict cannot come. And the lesson today is this instant, this holy instant, is the only time there is, the now. Time itself really is the illusion of this physical separated self construct of the ego mind. So there is no future, there is no past. We don't use time to keep that alive in the mind that we meld with, that we join with, that we are in relationship with and have our place with, place in. You know, I was thinking about the how to relate to this, and I'm always taken back to the sleeping self, but, you know, we are there all night, you know, participating in the sleeping self's illusions. We remember them, but we know that that's not our true self that's there. It doesn't know that we're safe at home in bed. It doesn't really know of the life that we have. I think you were sharing a story of a dream where you were seeing people from your past recently and how, you know, they were there, but there was no drama. There was no real relationship going on. They were just kind of showing up, you know, and it's really odd to see how the sleeping self puts dramas together, but it doesn't really know about us, you know, the waking self. It does. I mean, it's a representation of it, but it's just kind of a sliver of it. And so we're not that self. We can see how we're not that self, not completely that self, that there's much more to us than what that self presents, as there is much more to us now and than what this self is capable of knowing. The ego knows there's more, but it doesn't, it can't see it. It can't truly understand it. So we really do have to go from one state of mind, being asleep, to being awake. And again, one more step from being in this state of mind, which we think we're awake, but we're really still dreaming, to the awakened self, which is the Holy Spirit, our right mind that is not asleep at all, never has been asleep. And so we then begin to see a whole new world, a new way of being. And then we're joined with God. We're joined with Spirit. We're joined with love in that experience. So again, he points here to the holy instant as the methodology to remember ourself and to return to that state of being. The only interval in which I can be saved from time is now.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Pretty awesome.
I think it's interesting, you know, that time is being brought up here. And why wouldn't it be? You know, that's something I think that is worthy of being unpacked right now is the concept of time. And, you know, it alludes to what its purpose is here. And its purpose is not about assuring that the past becomes the future. You know, it reminds me of, you know, that graph that you used to draw on the board when we would teach the Returno. Mm-hmm. You know how they have those roundabouts mm-hmm. now, everybody, you know, the roundabouts, instead of intersections, there are the roundabout circles that you kind of hop into the circle and you go around. And so if you are seeking to go straight, when you approach the roundabout, you have to go around 180 degrees. And then in order to continue on your pathway in a straight line. And Tony, Brother T, used to use that as an illustration that at the center of that roundabout is the now. And that as we're approaching the roundabout, that's the past. And as we, you know, end up on the other side, that's the future. And that when we don't practice the holy instant, when we don't understand the purpose of time, you know, to be in that now moment, that's the only place where our second coming and salvation can be, is in that present moment at the center of that roundabout. Mm-hmm. We just keep recreating the past into the future. And so I think that that this is really interesting, for in this instant has forgiveness come to set us free. So when we arrive at the holy instant, at that now moment, is when we become free, where mm-hmm. forgiveness abides. I want to reference from the text, chapter 20, the promise of the resurrection, and it's the section on the heralds of eternity. And which book is this? I never know how to distinguish which book
it is. The JCIM. Edition.
The JCIM yeah. edition on page 411, and it's the third paragraph down, or number 42. It says, "You look upon each holy instant as a different point in time." I have. I know yeah. I have done that. Mm-hmm. And so I read this just yesterday. You look upon each holy instant as a different point in time. It never changes. All that it ever held or will ever hold is here right now. The past takes nothing from it, and the future will add no more. Here then is everything. Here is the loveliness of your relationship, which means and ends in perfect harmony already. Here is the perfect faith that you will one day offer to each other, already offered you. You know, so it's the same holy instant, which just tells me I still think of time as linear, mm-hmm. as sure. opposed to the same holy instant being eternal, mm-hmm. the eternal infinite now. So I just think that that's really interesting.
It is interesting. You know, and I think of too, I mean, we look at where we are in this moment from the egoic perspective, and the ego's always looking to control the future. So like on our roundabout, we won't stay on the roundabout. We're going to go on, you know, into the future. We're projecting into the future, but we're looking back at the past. But when we're in this present now, from an egoic perspective, what are we thinking about today? We're thinking about tomorrow. What do we need to do today to be okay tomorrow? Yeah. We want to control our experience tomorrow. We're not present in the day, except that we're using it and abusing it to create some reality for ourselves for the future, right? But the interesting thing is, while we're doing that, we're almost always not satisfied. Not satisfied with who I'm being, what I'm doing today, because I'm trying to improve myself. I'm trying to fix this. I'm trying to construct that. I'm doing whatever I can so tomorrow will be a better day, right? Tomorrow it seems to be salvation in the future. It's always in the future because today is not whole unto itself from the egoic perspective. But the interesting thing is it's always been like that in every day, but we look back to the past and say, oh, I would just like things to stay the same. But we weren't happy then either. In those days that we look back to and say, oh, I was so happy then. Yeah, you looking back at it filtered without the construct that you weren't happy. You might have been happy for a moment, but you were always still trying to make the future better. The ego doesn't really operate in the present at all. And it pulls from the past, it idolizes the past, and it wants to recreate it, the best moments of it, and create that for the future. And so we lose the present moment, literally, because we're not present, because we're letting the thinking mind keep us on this journey of seek but do not find, right? And it's funny to me that the ego looks to the past and says, we want to get the, when I, you know, we want to keep that intact. We keep looking to the past for the future happiness, but we weren't happy then anyway.
Well, and that's the trap of nostalgia, you know, being nostalgic. But the other side of that coin is regret, you know, so depending on what your proclivity is, you know, whether the past was nostalgic or you view it with regret, either way, it's filtered. And either way, you're projecting it into the, you're guaranteeing that it will be in the future. Right. And so the great interrupter of our habits and of, you know, the hamster wheel, so to speak, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's like, you know, is that infinite eternal now and abiding there. So when we go back to the very early lessons, I believe that's what they were trying to teach us. You know, the very beginning. I know we're on 307, but isn't it interesting to go back to what was really being pointed to, but we just didn't know it at the time. When you go back to the very first lessons, which are what? You probably know them off the top of your head. Nothing I see means anything. I have given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. I do not understand anything I see. These thoughts do not mean anything. I am upset, you know, for the reason, I'm not never upset for the reason I think. I'm upset because I see something that isn't there. I'm upset because I see only the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm preoccupied with past thoughts. So, you know, this thing of time. So in your teaching of A Course in Miracles, what would you say when a student asks, so what is the purpose of time?
It's a teaching device. Because and we're on lesson 308, not 307, but thank you. It's, imagine this. You've moved from a mind of knowing, and you're only using a sliver of intelligence. Because the true self that is you, joined with the will of God, is the mind of all, knowing all things, in all things, of all things, the all in all. So there's nothing that's not known, right? So imagine going from that unimaginable omnipresence and omniscience to being just a little sliver of mind. Mm-hmm. And that little sliver of mind is trying to construct and create a whole new existence. Mm-hmm. And so it moves so very slowly, and it's instead of being able to join in mind, like we were always joined together with God, with the mind of love, and with our brothers and sisters. And so what one knows, all knows, right? It's instantaneous knowing, understanding, and experiencing. No language required, right? Mm-hmm. And when we kind of fell into this illusion, this dream of separation, and there's such a small amount of mind available for this illusion, we had to kind of slow things down so that we could put it on our calendar, say, well, I'll meet you on Tuesday at 2 o'clock so we can have this conversation, because I can't know it instantly right now.
Yeah.
Right. I can't know everything you know right now, so I can only know it in pieces and little parts. And so time is a construct that allows us to go through this slow down process to be able to keep up and to consume understanding and to try to grasp and understand this dimension that we've actually created. The ego is a very poor servant, and it needs help. And so we constructed time to give it the ability to begin to piece itself together over a span of time, because it's a slow learner. So time is a great tool.
So we had to dumb it down.
We had to dumb it down. We had to dumb it down. And time is a wonderful tool that the holy instant.
So how does the Holy Spirit then utilize time?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say the Holy Spirit when I said Holy Instant. But so the Holy Spirit utilizes time to reach us in a new way. And what's interesting about when we have these peak experiences, as we evolve consciously, you start having these peak experiences. It's like you have the aha moments. So you come to know something instantly. Mm-hmm. And you might have had to study it from an egoic perspective for years to grasp that level of understanding. But when you have that peak experience of spiritual knowing, it's like instantly, it's like years of study. Mm-hmm. Suddenly it's a knowing. Mm-hmm. And it's a remembrance of what you already know, really.
Yeah.
Right. But it would take the ego a long time to get to that place. Right. That's why we're all kind of on our journey individually, you know, and some of us like to play around and distract ourselves with things. Mm-hmm. And others are really a little bit more intent on, well, let's get on with it. Mm-hmm. And so I think students of A Course in Miracles fall into the latter category, you know, okay, I've messed around long enough. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to realize that, you know, if I'm just going to keep being reincarnated over and over, I've done that enough now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to the first grade. I'm speaking for myself. And when you first met me, I used to say, I just want to get off the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, when I first began to accept that I was reincarnating over and over and over, that made perfect sense. Okay, sure, you can't get all this in one lifetime. And we've been going on and on, you know, gaining wisdom. Our higher self, the soul, really kind of distills wisdom out of all of our life experiences. And so as we become old souls, if you allow me to use that term, and have more incarnations, we begin to just kind of get bored with the, you know, the routine of the world, which is just fight and struggle and, you know, and suffering, grasping, clinging, you know, this whole ego concept of seek but do not find. I mean, it really is exhausting when you realize that there's really nothing there. Mm-hmm. No matter how much I'm seeking or how much I idolize something, if I do finally get it, the reason I can say that it's seek but do not find, because what I thought was in it, it reveals itself that that was just under my imagination, thinking that that was something there that really there was nothing there anyway.
So again, I'm going to ask, because I felt like I lost it. And how does the Holy Spirit utilize time?
The Holy Spirit utilizes time to allow us to get to that point where we're beginning to say, okay, my seek but do not find program's not working here. So then we begin to slow down. We begin to quieten our mind. We begin to ask for help. And when we do, and the Holy Spirit begins to work with us at a level that we can begin to, it's almost like we're in kindergarten, you know, and we got to learn the 1+1 stuff, you know, and the Holy Spirit uses time not to overwhelm us, because here's the deal. If you were to become, you know, hit with an immediate mind alteration, your mind would open up to the truth of who and what you are, you would have a psychotic break. And many have, you know, people have had Kundalini experiences, and they weren't really mentally prepared for it. And it really messed them up. So the point is, the Holy Spirit uses time to kind of guide us gently and slowly into evolving conscious state of being. And it's a gentle, loving, benevolent, use of time. So the Holy Spirit uses time, and I'll put it this way, to kind of spoon feed us, you know, into beginning to understand and realize who and what we are. I will share you this. If you had come to me 30 years ago, okay, and started telling me some of the stuff that I talk about today that I know is the truth, I have an understanding and knowing of it. But if you'd have tried to teach me that 30 years ago, I would have said, leave me alone. Get out of here. That's bullshit. I mean, my mind was so closed, I couldn't accept it. So the Holy Spirit used that 30 years to trickle, you know, to just drip this wisdom on me so that I could accept it a little at a time.
Okay. All right. So what does this have to do with the second coming? And so I think that the only interval in which I can be saved from time is now. For in this instant has forgiveness come to set me free. The birth of Christ is now without a past or future. So we're talking about the second coming and the birth of Christ. Which is merely the correction of mistake and the return to sanity. And so I'm going to say that the purpose of time utilized by the Holy Spirit is to return us to sanity.
It's to get us to the realization that we've been going around the roundabout mm-hmm. instead of stopping on the roundabout.
Mm-hmm. He has come to give his present blessing to the world, restoring it to timelessness and love. And love is ever present here and now.
And so we're using the word present. We're using the word now. So the Holy Spirit uses time when we become present in time.
Yes.
That's the only place we can be reached when it comes to the Holy Spirit.
And it's the only time there is. And that's what our lesson is today. This instant is the only time there is.
Yeah. And I almost want to say that the holy instant is the only no time there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Timelessness.
Yeah. And he does mm-hmm. say, and we say the holy instant, but, you know, Raj shared, says, you know, you think it's an instant like that. That's mm-hmm. an instant. But mm-hmm. no, it's an eternal instant.
It's the eternal now.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So instead of going around in the roundabout, we're going to stop right there. We're going to be in this present moment. But we have to get to the point where we're willing to do that. Because until we get to that point, either life, you've heard that expression, people get so pushed down in their experience of life that suddenly they have kind of a break and that's when they have an opening. But that's the hard way to me. That's the hard way to do it. The other way is to take over time these lessons and these learnings and get to a place where we will quiet our mind and be present. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing and having the conversation. That was fun.
This instant is the only time there is. That is our practice today.
It is.
Let's keep it simple.
All right. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holy
Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I started to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. But I'm thinking of you, Mighty Companion. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We love you. God bless you. And stay the course. We're committed to staying this course with you. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens. and in